Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast, Today's Word, from our Sunday sermon. Thanks so much for stopping by. We're continuing a series of sermons on forgiveness that actually began before Easter, talking about forgiveness. This week, we're actually going back to a text we talked about 3 weeks ago, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. Jesus told them yet another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread throughout that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'" The younger son got up and started back to his father, but when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son, hugged him, and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet." So, have you ever been forgiven? Had to go and confess that you had done something or said something or left something undone or unsaid, and now have to admit you are at fault? The reality is, it's hard, sometimes heartbreakingly hard. We know we are guilty, and so does the one we have to confess to. Or, even worse is having to confess our actions and words to someone who is blissfully unaware, but who we know now will be furious, hurt beyond words, feeling totally betrayed. Yet we have come to the conclusion that we must confess, perhaps because our beloved is about to find out, or perhaps because we have figured out that our own hearts, minds, and souls will never be right until we speak the words of confession. It's one of the reasons in the Reformed tradition, like in the Presbyterian Church, we practice confession every week. At both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services, we take time to confess our sins and then hear the words of forgiveness. We say, or the leader says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, then, let us confess our sins to God in silence." We confess because confession is the first step in what may be a challenging writing of our relationship with others and with God. Now, sometimes forgiveness comes quickly. Sometimes it doesn't come at all. But it is our responsibility to confess, to fix the record, as it were, to speak the truth and to admit our own wrongs. Then perhaps others will forgive us, and then we can deal with that forgiveness. Because accepting forgiveness is a thing in itself, isn't it? Intellectually understanding that we have been forgiven by someone we have egregiously wronged is never easy. Sometimes it's very hard to imagine that the forgiveness is real, especially since we have to admit to ourselves that we might not have forgiven the other if they had hurt us in the way we had hurt them. And understanding emotionally is a whole additional thing. Jesus' story of the prodigal son, as we discovered a few weeks ago, tells of a son who has come to his senses after having taken his inheritance and blowing it on wild living, whatever that is, and then goes home to confess. And about a father whose love is amazing and forgiving, And in the reading we did 3 weeks ago about an older brother who just doesn't get it. But there is something it really doesn't speak about the younger son's need to understand and accept that he is forgiven. Yes, he accepts the hug and the kiss. Yes, he accepts the robe, the sandals, and the ring. Yes, he accepts the fatted calf and the singing and dancing. But there is so much more to the process when you have been forgiven for so much. So much trust to rebuild, so much confidence that has been destroyed and must be reconstructed. Can't you just imagine the younger son going to his father every single time he is asked to make an important decision to make sure that it's okay, that he really is a son once again, that he really can speak for the family, that he has really been restored? The father has forgiven him. He is really forgiven, but living forgiven can be quite hard. Which is why each week after we confess our sins, the worship leader says these words or words like them, hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus entered the world to rescue sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Words of grace and love that change everything. We're not asked to carry a burden of guilt, a sense that we are less in any way than the children of the great King, the Lord of Lords, our Heavenly Father, who has blessed us with the robe, the sandals, and the ring. We are forgiven. So now we're supposed to act like it, to every day be the children of God and to extend the gift of forgiveness to this hurting world. Question is, do you understand that you are forgiven? Amen. Thanks so much for joining us for this particular edition of Today's Word. If you'd like to ask questions or just make comments, you can get a hold of us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org. And Otisville is with two L's. Thanks for stopping by.